I never see you. Stop it. Stop it.
I should have one of the oats so I can read off it.
The what?
The oath of office. Yeah.
Yeah, they're here.
You got it. Whose are those?
So they're not here.
Oh, I.
So we can do the next week. Here is Osai's pocket. Oh wait,
something.
Oh, okay.
Wait, what is going in here? Hold on.
These are more agendas. Those should stay out.
All right, I'll try to help get this organized.
I'm going to start in 1 minute.
You want me to take?
Do a roll.
I'm just going to do from here.
Okay, we're going to start with roll call.
Okay, TJ Ball. Here. What's that? All right, Ball. Barbaria. Chowdhury. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing names. This is Alex. Hi, Alex. Okay, say it again. Chowdhury, thank you. Corn. Cornell, Devatha, Din, Osei is not here, Hassan, Harris here, yeah. Hers, thank you, Indomini, Kaufman, Lim, Lipschutz, Magliori, am I slaughtering these names? I apologize. Martinez, Park, Perlada Ochoa, thank you. Pollard, Romero Zavala, Sam, okay, I'm Sannon, no, absent, okay. Schott, Shapiro, Sim, okay, Tokumbo, all right, Valadez, Wallace, and I believe that's all of our voting members.
Thank you. Travis for a very successful
remind me what your name is, J1.
Okay.
Here. Okay. Sure, just one moment, J1. Thank you.
Does he have a local office? Oh, should I do it? I thought I should all say. J.R. My mic is there. And so repeat after me, okay? In view of the trust the Purna community has vested in me, as well as my personal sense of honor, I claim, do solemnly affirm on this, the 28th day of September, in the year 2017, to fulfill my responsibilities as student elected representative, I will engage in open and honest debate, in a process where I am guided by truth and fairness. I will never purposely misrepresent facts in an effort to achieve my goals. If a conflict of interest arises, I will relinquish my right to participate in the decision-making process. I will seek out and voice effectively the interests and concerns of the student body. Address the issues of my fellow students and strive to improve the quality of life at Cornell for all students. Thank you. Congratulations, guys. We'll go right into the microphone.
If any members of the community would like to speak, the floor is yours.
Can you speak more in the microphone, please?
Is this better? All right. But instead of reiterating the statistics, obviously there are facts to show that occasionally female students, both undergrad and grad students, are at risk of what is seen as incapacitated sexual assault, which means that they do not have the capacity to give abortions. And we are here to speak about our mandate and what exactly our office does for women.
Hi guys, my name is Margie. So as she said, we're law students. We are an office of five total law students right now. Tina and I are both third years, but they're also second years in our office. And we are basically hired by the university to help people as procedural advisors if they would like to file a complaint with the Title IX office, or even if they just want some advice on whether they want to file a complaint with the Title IX office at all. We started, our first year was last year, so sometimes we struggle a little bit with outreach. People don't really know that we exist, so we're here to just talk about our role. We provide free consulting advice for anyone that's considering filing a Title IX complaint. If they choose to file a Title IX complaint, we help them do everything from collect evidence to mediate meetings with the Title IX office to actually represent them at a hearing. And also help write submissions for them, which is probably one of the most stressful parts of filing a complaint, is going through all of their evidence and putting together an argument. So those are some of the things.
things that we help students with. We just wanted you guys to know that we exist. We also are not required to report anything. We're not under a mandate, unlike faculty members, so you must report in certain instances before them. So if you want confidential information, aren't sure whether they actually want to talk to the Title IX office, we're the perfect person to come talk to about that. We brought some materials that we hope you'll hand out as student leaders, members of your community. And also, if anyone that you know has questions or concerns, they can always email our email address, complaintsadvice@cornell.edu. And we can either provide advice via email or set up a meeting with one of our office members. At this time, do you have any questions or concerns that we could address?
I have a question. So what are your current marketing or outreach? What do you currently do for outreach?
So again, this is our actual second year being fully functional because the policy was completely revamped over the last year. Our office actually did not exist until today. We started out by going to IMC meetings and hands-on meetings last year. We have scheduled some things with the GPSA and also obviously the PSA, but sometimes they run out of time for us to, you know, pitch in. We also have flyers and like little handouts that we try to put up around campus, but it's a huge campus, so that can be difficult. But outreach is something that we're struggling with.
Have you thought about reaching out to the Women's Resource Center? The Women's Resource Center?
Since the inauguration of our office, we have worked closely with Victims Advocate, and we do sometimes take these cases together in conjunction with them. And what we have right now is a policy where if, say, a potential complainant comes forward to a Victims Advocate, and if they wish to file a complaint, then the advocates at the Women's Center would reach out to us directly, and then we'll proceed there. Aside from that, we don't have any formal outreach program in place.
So the Victims Advocate is through Title IX in the Title IX office. Correct. So I'm saying that someone would already had to report to Cornell to come to you, right?
They don't actually come to you, but one of the problems is that does happen. Because I don't know if we are limited on the Title IX documents as a resource to talk to, but at that point they've already come into the Title IX office and introduced themselves. Frequently when they come in just to talk about something, they will also
barrier a lot of times is that if people want to be confidential, they don't want to talk to anyone, but having that knowledge that there's a confidential legal resource there, that might be something that's specific. If you want to talk to RNSP, the residential research programs, so that RAs have this knowledge available, so that it's a person that might approach them, that knowledge is readily available for the residents. I don't know if they want to talk to them.
Great. Thank you. On that point, I hate to give you a law lawyer analogy, but essentially we are doing outreach early in the school year because how we submit is for people who are necessarily solid from there. And so we want to give the student and it's working on before they decide to call them a complaint so we can essentially help them and be in communication with them, but in the best practice.
Sorry, just quickly, we are not lawyers. Any other questions for the subject? Can I just ask where your office is? Like where your office is? Like where you
are? Yeah, so currently the law school is under a lot of construction and our office isn't really present right now, but all you have to do is email the address and we'll set up a meeting.
there any other questions for Ms. Underwood? Thank you. You can leave the material at the table there. We can take it up with you. Thank you. The floor is now open to the rest of the community. With that, we'll be closing the open microphone.
Yeah, we'll be going into announcements and reports. Varun will be presenting on announcing the meetings for 3 weeks.
All right, Quinjet Leadership Program has sent in a resolution next week. And then something regarding international student financial aid. I'm sure most of you were here last weeks ago. But for those of you that weren't here, one of the intricacies involved with international student aid is that if an individual comes in as a financially stable member of the community without financial aid at all, even if they do undergo a situation by which they need financial aid at some point during their time at Cornell, they are ineligible for financial aid if they are an international student. Domestic students don't have the same problem. If you come in without financial aid as a domestic student, you're able to renegotiate if you do undergo certain financial circumstances. So one of the things that TJ and I, Chris Schott and I did last week was we met with three members of the financial office. So just something interesting for those of you that don't know, financial aid for international students actually isn't run through the financial aid office, it's run through the admissions office. And there's different pools for domestic aid and international aid. So basically I just want to make you aware that Chris and I are developing a resolution right now that we'll be releasing next week and hopefully passing through the Percy Committee or DNI Committee or that committee.
Next is Myra.
Hi everyone. My announcement is in regards to Vice President Lombardi's email that went out this past Sunday. In particular, I want to elaborate on one of the main points that was brought up in the email, which was the first generation initiative. And so essentially a alumni donor gave the university a ton of money for the purposes of it going directly into first generation and low income students. And so what the university will be doing is they'll be hiring a full-time staffer, someone who will live and breathe, as Vice President Lombardi said, first gen and low income initiatives. In addition to the full-time position, there is money left over for the purpose of first gen and low income student initiatives. And I have pretty regular meetings with Vice President Lombardi in regards to these initiatives. So I'd really like to hear input from the community and SA members because the first gen and low income identity is very intersectional and it students inhabit all parts of campus. So I want to, you know, get that kind of input. So if you have any kind of input about what initiatives you would like to see coming through, please email me at mv357 and I'll make sure to communicate that.
Thank you, Myra. We'll go into business of the day. Dave? Also, just as a reminder, we are commits to our newly elected representatives. Whenever you guys have a question or a comment for something, when someone's presenting or speaking, you can just raise your placards, and I'll pick out your names to each other's speakers.
How are you?
All right, hey guys. So this is going to be our, I guess, our second byline report. So we're going to have these every week. But we have two following reports and then one request for an APA today. First report is CUEMS. So CUEMS stands for Cornell University Emergency Medical Service. And they requested $3.60. They're currently at $3.24. The Appropriations Committee recommended funding them at the full request for $3.60. So we increased their funding by about, what is that, what would that be? Like 10,000 something? Okay, so anyways, it was supposed to be printed. I don't know why that didn't happen, but it didn't. So I'm going to have to formally ask that we approve the CUEMS request at $3.60 per undergraduate student. So that's what I'm doing. Second. Okay.
Second. Second.
Second.
Second.
Second. Second. You should take the vote. You should vote. You should be the five. This is official.
So is that a dissent?
You should just raise your five hands.
Okay, so there's another someone up. Go forward with another dissent.
All right, motion to vote.
So a second. All right, all those in favor? Wait, can I ask a question? Or is it too late to say dissent? All those against? Abstentions? Jess, did you vote? Yes, okay. By vote of 24-021 passes.
All right, congratulations to CUEMS. They got decreased last time, so this is actually a big deal. Okay, so next is the Community Partnership Funding Board. So the Community Partnership Funding Board funds about $30,000 in grants to community projects each year. They requested $2 per student. We funded them at the full amount, or we're recommending funding them at the full amount. That's CPFB. If anyone has any questions, speak now before I ask for it to be approved. Okay.
All right, I'm voting. All those in favor? All those again? And we're going to redo the vote because we lost it. All those in favor, keep your hands up. All those against? Abstentions? By a vote of 24-021 passes. Also, Gabe, before we go to the next one, can you explain to our new reps? Yeah.
Let me know when I should start. Okay. So basically what's going on right now is it's called a byline cycle, which means that the SA is in the process of funding student organizations on campus. The Appropriations Committee meets each week and makes a recommendation to the Assembly. I, as the chair of that committee,
you speak then.
I, as the chair of that committee, come to the student assembly and defend the recommendation of the committee. So that's why each week you're going to see me present recommendations that were approved by the appropriations committee. And so that's what's going on right now. The next organization that we're going to be doing has requested to appeal. They are not happy with the appropriations committee's recommendation for a number of reasons. And so what we're going to be doing right now is hearing that appeal. So they're going to present their side of the story, we're going to present our side of the story, and then the appropriations committee will make a decision. I'm sorry, the student assembly will make a decision. And so that's what's going on before I get into the specifics. Are there any questions from people, like what this process is, just like the procedure, or not even the nuts and bolts of this?
Can someone have the mic?
So the recommendation, is it like passed by the entire committee first and then it's recommended, or is it just you all? Yeah, just can I answer?
Yes.
Okay. So the committee is composed of half student assembly appointed student assembly members and half community members that are appointed by the staffing committee. And my job is to defend the recommendation of the committee, whether or not I agree with it. I happen to agree with this one.
And just to add to that, so basically the committee meets for a couple hours in a day and we hear these. Whether they want to increase funding or decrease funding, and then we hear it and we understand why, and then we discuss for like 30 minutes or more afterwards based on their financial statements and what they tell us. And then that's when we vote whether to increase, decrease, or stay the same. And the appeal today was that or didn't feel like our recommendation was accurate.
Right. So, EMS one, like, there was a film, like, so if an organization wants to appeal the recommendation of the committee, then they essentially will like contact me in advance to send me like a letter that I'll forward to everyone, and I forwarded you the Women's Resource Center's letter. And so usually like we gave CEMS the most that we could possibly give them. And so they like I guess they could appeal to make it go down, but no org ever wants their funding to go down. And so because we gave the last two organizations as much money as we possibly could, they have no reason to submit an appeal. So only when an organization like gets less than it wanted will it submit an appeal.
To add on to like what you asked, this committee is elected by the SA, and then by the VP of Finance, the outside members are elected. And so as soon as somebody trusts the opinion of this committee, we were elected into it and we spent hours each Monday really going over the financials and really going over like all the holistic analysis.
So is that information available online that you guys can look at during your meetings? So the Office of the Assemblies traditionally is responsible for uploading those materials online. And so I can definitely get in contact with them to help them make that publicly available. But yeah, I can also send it to everybody the Women's Resource Center's bylaw packet to review right now. I'll do that right now. You guys are submitting the appeal, so do you want to come up here and present your case, and then, I'll introduce essentially the issue, and then you can explain your reasoning.
But before anyone starts, I'll make a reminder. So this mic, this acoustics in this room is terrible. Like, even if it sounds loud to you, just put it like, close to your mouth. And please, I know usually we frown upon SA members using your computers, but if you need to look up any of the information that was emailed to you, as well as look over these documents being passed out, please do that so you understand exactly what's going on. Thank you. You may start.
Okay. So while this is being passed out, I'm just going to briefly explain like what the committee's decision was, and then I'm going to let Sam Romero handle like the nitty gritty because she's worked with them more closely than I have. So essentially, on Monday, last Monday, the Appropriations Committee convened. We reviewed the Women's Resource Center, and we reviewed the request for $4 per student. After asking them questions and after having a discussion with ourselves, we decided to fund them at $3.67 per student. This is for undergraduate student on campus. So you take that number and multiply it times about 15,000. And so that represents a reduction in funding from the last cycle. And so the main reason why we essentially recommended this amount is because it's a specific program called Feminism Through Thought. The committee felt that it was essentially a very expensive program, and we wanted the Women's Resource Center to either hold the event less frequently or reduce the costs of the event and hold it as frequently. And so that's essentially what the committee's decision was. But Sam knows a lot more about the intricacies of their financials.
I'll just briefly explain the packet that you guys just handed out. Over the past week since the decision was made, we reached out to groups that have participated in the program, alumni who funded the program, alumni who participated during their time here, and current students who are having its program now, and just statements of support. So we've got a pretty large packet. So I am going to, after we finish our initial statements, I'm going to direct you to a few of the ones that I feel are most impactful and representative of the discussion that we're having here.
Yeah, I ask that you pay attention to me and Helen's statements while we're speaking, though I do believe in the value of these packets, and maybe you could refrain from reading them until between or after our statements. So for those of you who don't know, my name is Hannah Wilson, and I'm a current executive board member of the Women's Resource Center for WRC. As you know, we're here today to appeal the violent funding decision made by the Appropriations Committee last week. We thank the SA for their continued support of our other programming, but are troubled by the 75% cut made to Feminism Food for Thought, one of our most valuable programs. For background, Feminism Food for Thought is a weekly Thursday night dinner that hosts diverse campus organizations for discussions relating to feminism, such as sexual assault and disability with student disability services, and gender scripts and intersectional feminism with MedJet. Students without meal swipes are provided, students without unlimited meal swipes are provided tickets to get food from the dining hall. Food that accommodates without question all dietary, allergic, or other needs. The program is open to and attended by all students, including all genders and abilities. An open discussion is led by the attending organization and facilitated by one or two members of the WRC's board. Feminism Food for Thought, though, is more than a discussion. It is a chance to educate and to learn, to connect campus organizations both with the WRC and to students that would not otherwise hear their messages. Feminism Food for Thought is the channel through which so many other programs come to fruition, where ideas are born for collaborative programming efforts via co-sponsorships, as you heard when Sassy brought Danielle Carter, a trans woman of color, to speak on campus, where mobilization for large-scale events like the Vagina Monologues occurs, where support is offered during difficult weeks on campus, as we have all faced lately, and where information about the WRC and attending organizations is disseminated, including how to get involved. In fact, Feminism Food for Thought is the singular reason for my, among other board members, involvement in the Women's Resource Center. I cannot emphasize enough that Feminism Food for Thought, having run now for 9 years, has been the first stepping stone for so much of our success at the WRC on campus. And it is one of the foremost programs at the WRC in our goals of inclusion and broadening our impact and support on campus to welcome and cater to all communities. And you don't have to take our word for it. We've included these packets of letters from attendees and organizers to emphasize these points. Now, on to our reason for being here today. With filing funding, we pay for attending students' meals if they do not have an unlimited meal plan, like I said. The cost of this was deemed to be unreasonable by the Appropriations Committee, who urged us to do the program less frequently in their decision. Firstly, the urging of the Appropriations Committee for us to do less programming is not only unreasonable, as it is antithetical to our beliefs as an organization whose primary goal is to expand programming inclusion and impact on campus, but also insulting as it demonstrates a fundamental lack of understanding of the importance of the WRC and its programs on campus. Secondly, this response came to us as a total shock. I am not someone well-versed in filing funding procedures, but my understanding is that the many meetings and off-year practice funding hearings are intended to prevent exactly this: reactive emergency efforts by students to save their organization's programming. To my knowledge, the university is preparing an entire 60-plus page filing funding application on non-funding years for practice hearings is to offer organizations feedback in due time to implement such feedback. To my knowledge, the intention of the Appropriations Committee hearing during funding years is to allow organizations to explain the reasoning for their expenditures. In both counts, these procedures failed, resulting in what I can only describe as a lethal cut to one of our most valued programs without our input or knowledge. For one, we received none of our promised feedback from our off-year ILM applications from last spring, despite our repeated requests as this semester's deadline approached. The reason we came to the Violent Funding Committee in the spring was due to our hearing last fall, again a practice hearing, where more information on the attendance of our programs in general, specifically the Big Red Shuttle, was requested. Feminist and Future Thought was never mentioned in that feedback either. Nonetheless, we gathered attendance data for the program and presented it both this spring, when we received no feedback at all, and in addition to this semester. This semester, at our Appropriations Committee hearing, from which, by the way, the SA Women's Rep was absent and therefore unable to defend our programming, we received little questioning about feminism and Future Thought. Primarily, we were asked about the attending students. Were they the same people at each week? They are not. How many students attend and use their own meals rights and therefore are attending for free? About 2 per week. These were fair questions and we welcome them. Not one question regarded our use of the floor rows dining hall for our program. Therefore, as you can imagine, we were stunned to discover Feminist and Future Thought's budget had been cut to a fatal number. We have for the past year met 3 times with the Byline Funding Committee and then not heard once that we should not have the event at Four Rows, nor were we given opportunities to offer our reasons for using the dining hall, of which we have many, as Ellen will elaborate on briefly later. Additionally, after the decision, we met again with the Appropriations Committee representatives, and I expressed my desire to sustain the program by balancing the funding cut throughout our other programming. Reiterating Feminism and Future Thought's special importance to us at the WRC. I was told that, in fact, according to the Byline Funding Rules, the cut must come from the specified program or area, and that those rules could and would be enforced, meaning there is no way for us internally to maintain the program, despite our unwavering belief in its critical role in our functioning. There is no reason the Byline Funding process should result in reactive action, and rationalization. The onus should not be on student groups to scramble to find funding for their valued programs and make the decisions of the committee behind closed doors, appraising our programs based on incomplete information in conversations in which our org had no representation. Neither should the organization be urged to do less programming. This decision and recommendation was made with significantly and unacceptably limited information and rationalized after the fact instead of being discussed ahead of time. In a reactive measure, it was suggested that we, students with other obligations, work, and exams, in a matter of days, contact the entire West Campus Dining Administration to find funding elsewhere and reconstruct our program to accommodate a newly and arbitrarily limited resource, the result of which, I'll remind you, was an enormous 75% cut to the program, made on unreasonable faith that we would be able to pull money out of the air elsewhere. This is improper at best. Such a decision obviously fundamentally changes our program, and I would hope would only be made after discussion and collaboration by those who are fully informed, exercising thorough consideration. I urge the Appropriations Committee to consider the profound decisions you make on behalf of others, and hope you did so with absolute confidence that you made those powerful choices without any assumption on our program and organization's behalf, and without shortcutting of discussion, deliberation, or voting processes. The members of the Student Assembly, I hope you understand the lack of due process we were offered, and our desire to appeal the funding decision as we are doing today.
Thank you.
We're very passionate, have a lot to say. So, hello everyone, my name is Lon Chen, and I'm also an executive board member of the Women's Resource Center. Over the past week and a half, we have been working tirelessly reacting to our Byline Funding decision. As a part of our work, we identified why Four Rows House is an essential location for our Feminist and Food Without discussions. I would like to take some time to convey this to the Student Assembly, as this seems to be a point of contention for the Appropriations Committee. I want to first reiterate the point that Hannah made and that we have been repeatedly trying to convey throughout this process. We do not have a set number of people that come to Feminist and Food Without each week. We have an average of 15 attendees per week. This means that 50% of the time, we have more than 15 people come, such as last week when we had 20 attendees. The other 50% of the time, we have less than 15 people, such as when there's big prelim weeks and only 7 people met. There is virtually no way for us to anticipate
how many people will come to. Because of this, Flora Rose Dining Hall serves as a sustainable option for the program. We can adjust the number of meals to accommodate the number of people who show up for the discussion. This allows for zero amount of wasted food as we are only providing for the people who actually show up. If we start to order out for food, we will undoubtedly run into this issue of throwing extra food away. Furthermore, it's a much more environmentally friendly option as we are not to take up containers and paper plates to be used in the program. Another critical point is the inclusivity of dining halls. We can provide for any dietary restriction, whether it's allergies, preference, or literally any other reason. This is an essential part of any program that offers food. We looked up other catering options and have been quoted $15 per person for inclusive food options elsewhere. This is roughly the same price of a meal swipe. It's currently $15.40 per student, but this option ignores the issue of varying attendance that I talked about earlier. Four Rose is furthermore an accessible location. Having had attendees with mobility restrictions, if we were to hold a dinner in our office location, we'll ensure all of this would be unacceptable. Inaccessible for attendees, which is unacceptable. Additionally, it is an on-campus location, reducing the burden of transportation, often directly correlated to socioeconomic status of students. Hosting the dinner off-campus requires students to arrange transport, which makes a program that is supposed to be open to all members of our community inherently not open. We hold our discussion in the Flora Rose common room, which is a closed room and allows for comfortable discussion. After talking to the facilitators this week, they identified this reason to be critical to the integrity of the program. We often address sensitive and troubling issues for people participating in the discussion, and because of this, it is absolutely essential that we hold the discussion in a safe place. I would also like to address a proposed solution from the Appropriations Committee with no consultation or input from the Women's Resource Center or anyone involved in the program for that matter. It conveyed to us in the discussion that took place after the hearing decision. And this was to subsidize the meal swipes by $8 to $12 per attendee, requiring that the student pays the difference. The student assembly, especially in recent years with the development of Annabelle's Grocery, has fought against the extremely pervasive issue of food insecurity on this campus. Having been involved in these conversations, I find it incredibly troubling that the committee would recommend requiring students to pay to attend a program that in its design is currently intended to be an open space that's accessible to all people on this campus. That proposal directly contradicts the assembly's commitment to ensuring the well-being and representation of all students. The bottom line is that the Women's Resource Center's mission is fundamentally one of proactive, not reactive, inclusivity. We believe that no one should have to ask for special accommodations to attend our programming. It should be from the start welcome to all. Due to the fact that this is an integral part of our mission, it is also non-negotiable. We must offer spaces that no students feel burdensome occupying. We must provide resources available and accessible to every student. Not only is it a value of ours, it is important to our functioning. We need absolutely every group of students, especially those traditionally excluded, to contribute their voices to our programming so that we can improve our offerings with their perspectives. Feminism Food for Thought has been our primary channel for this feedback, and we will resist any changes that reduce the availability of this program to all students. Thank you. I said I was going to highlight two statements I thought were really essential to this argument. The first one is by Dr. Hill, who is the assistant dean of the Flora Rose House where we host the dinner. Second statement is by Mecha, who hosted the discussion that we were in the last semester. Statement number 9 by Samantha Pugero, I thought raised a lot of key issues. Statement number 10, raised by Catherine Ford, is a 3-page letter written by an alumni who we reached out to on Tuesday, who has a full-time job and took the time to read a very well-passioned letter. And number 11, Kate Meyer, talks about the reason why we switched on to that.
Thank you. Before I'm gonna let Gabe and Sam respond first before we go to the speakers list, but I'll remind committee members that if you guys would like to speak, Sarah will go around and get your names. You gotta be in the speakers list. Right.
Hi everyone. So first of all, I wanna say that I'm very hurt that the Women's Resource Center got cut, especially this program. I joined the Appropriations Committee as like a normal, like non-SA person last year, and this is one of the orgs that I saw in the practice byline season with Diane Eddy spearheading the BPF. And I remember post-discussion last year, there were some issues raised, and the big one was Big Red Bullet, the second one was Flora Rose, and then there were a couple other financial expenses that were administrative. And I took initiative and, like, with Diana, decided to reach out and become a liaison to the Women's Resource Center and meet with Laura, which is the advisor. And then I also met with Molly in regards to Big Red Bullet and Max one day at in regards to improving the financial statements and really making sure this organization is ready for this year's cycle. And so to reiterate, I'm just really upset that we have to reach this point, because I took initiative and took time out of my schedule to really, like, help this org, because I think it's one of the most powerful orgs on campus for everyone, and personally for me, it's empowering. So that being said, when we sat to the last week and we heard the statements, we saw everything, I was very shocked to see that there was no change to the Feminism Food for Thought program. One of the suggestions I made to Laura was perhaps changing locations, whereas I do see how the mission aligns with having it at Rose House, but I just cannot excuse the price, where we are so hard on other organizations, and we are so so passionate about keeping fairness and being fair to all the organizations. I can't see how we can spare the $16 per head as opposed to $100 per head other. I just don't see that being excusable, and I don't see that being fair to other organizations who work super hard and who we've been really hard on to cut their costs that much. So that being said, it came down to that. I am willing to work with this organization, and I'm willing to, like, take my time out and see how I can help them find another venue and a more accessible way, a more financially accessible way to fund food. Because I'm really passionate about this program. I think this program has changed lives at Cornell and will continue to do so, but I just don't see how the money is being fair to the whole student organization and to all the students that pay into the student activity fee.
Okay, so just so everyone's, like, on the same page as to, like, what the amount that we are recommending that they go to, what that, like, procedurally would mean. So if they were spending $16 per student per head, $16 per week per head, the amount that we are recommending that the assembly adopt would be, like, would essentially allow the Women's Resource Center to have, like, a menu of options. And one of those options is essentially having the event every month instead of every week. Another option is having it spending half as much money and having the event every other week. And then another option is spending $3.50 to $4 per head every week, but having less expensive dinners, having it with, like, dessert or over ice cream, or subsidizing a portion of the game. So this definitely permits a menu of options that we think they should be empowered to choose from. Yeah. So okay. Right. So, like, just also, like, contextualize this, like, no other Bynum funded organization has this funding. Like, there's never been, like, most organizations are going to spend, like, $5 or $6 per head. Like, any organization that is spending four times the amount of money that it gets from every student on campus on one student's meal is spending too much money. And that's why we try, like, it's okay if Bynum funded orgs have, like, nice events, and we want to encourage that. But this event can be done, but it can have the same impact and be as great, but it can be done at a lower cost. And so that's why we made the recommendation that we did.
Yeah,
so, like, to conclude, like, the assembly, like, the ASCOM really does believe in the program, and we all struggled. Like, we spent, like, easily an hour or more talking about this later, because we were all very passionate about the program, but it came down to fairness and costs. And like Dave said, if the program fosters this meaningful conversation, do you need to pay $16 to have a meaningful conversation? Or could you just decrease it, increase fairness on campus, and continue having this kind of meaningful discourse?
Hi, so two things. First off, the solution to have meetings once a month, I think, doesn't allow us to discuss and cover the variety of issues that we want to. Feminism is intersectional, so there are a lot of different things to cover once a month. Doesn't allow us to cover as much as needs to be covered in conversations about diversity and inclusivity. Secondly, because our mission is diversity and inclusivity, I don't know that these other clubs who and organizations who are getting $1 per head or $5 per head are catering to the same types of people that we are. I'm not sure if these organizations are like clubbed or close club meetings that are feeding their people, or if it's something that's a dinner that is like ours, meant to bring people from all across campus. Welcome to all students to have these things. And I just would like to conceptualize how this lies in our budget. It takes up roughly $6,000 of our funding, so it's not like this massive 400% thing that you're talking about. And it is, so if we were to cut that 75%, that is $1,500 of funding per year to provide dinner for, we've had 500 dinners. That does not include people that come to our meetings that do not have, that have meal plans who are sweating on their own. So our 500, figure of 500 attendance for the full year only comes from people that get meal size. So $1,500 for 500 dinners over the course of 30 weeks of a semester. That's a legal cut to it.
Also, I just like would like to reiterate what I said before, which is like, we did try, if this is about, you know, making cuts across the board because Grinnell needs to do so, we offer to reallocate money from our other programs because we believe in this program so much, and we're told we can't.
We're going to do, if you have a long speakers list, we're going to do two speakers and then a response. Matt?
Thanks. So you guys presented from WRC, I just hear about the bigger upside funding, but why would that? And you?
So there was no formal response that we received. I know that there was a meeting before I got this and discussed, but when we went to go look back at formal responses as to like how we could improve our budget, it was, it's also.
And also in this climate right now, I don't think the answer is to lower the amount of events and discussions that we're having. I think it's to increase that. So if anything, I was shocked that you guys didn't apply for an increase, but I guess that's a story for 2 years from now. But I think we need to fully fund them at $4, but we are not doing it.
Next says Dale. So I really would like to hear from the Appropriations Committee if they thought of any ways that the program could be done with the same amount in the same location, but with lower funding, or I guess for everyone. I see that Dr. Hill suggested the possibility of being able to provide some funding. And the WRC members, is there any amount that could be given that is less than $4? Because for any organization, this is a lot of money. Every single student on campus is funding for these events. And it's not that we don't want to have them. It's not that we want to make it accessible. So is there an amount between $367 and $4 that could be better?
Yeah, I agree. It's an expensive program. I don't think that it's cheap. However, this would have been a great conversation to have a year ago when we had our practice funding, and I don't believe that the onus is on us to backpedal and try to guess a number without knowledge. So for example, we met with the Rose House people this morning because we've been kind of scrambling, and they were not able to give us a number. And they were not able to give us, you know, they said basically capped us at a certain number, there were no way we could go higher than that, and that would not remotely get us even close to running the program as it normally does. But I think this would have been wonderful feedback to hear a year ago and to be able to work on for a year. But I think it's inappropriate for us to be trying to figure out now and also to guess a number that we should recommend you fund us at, not knowing whether or not we'll be able to fill those gaps is something I will not graduate this campus leaving behind my absolute favorite and like most impactful program at the WC in such uncertain
hands.
I'm gonna.
Just to expand on that, this 1 week, Gabe suggested we reach out to Cornell Dining. I've done that. Dr. Hill suggested that we also work with Cornell Dining. It's just we haven't had the time to do those things. It's something that we can have turnaround again. I think it's really unfair to leave us in uncertainty of the program if those things don't work out. We are really, we're passionate about this program, we're passionate about being more efficient. And if we can divert that money to other women's programs on campus by having lower costs, we would be thrilled by that. But it's just uncertainty and we value this program so much. So it's just very unfair.
Okay, I'm gonna abscond respond.
To this, I am shocked because, like I said, I met with Laura, their advisor last year, and I provided the option with the financing that Diana and I worked out through Chipotle just to give a benchmark. And so to say that you guys weren't prepared, I'm sad and I'm shocked, but at the same time, I question, like, how the leadership and how the communications within the org is being right now, because I did work this out with her just so you guys would be prepared this semester. I worked that out, and then we also talked about, again, the big red shuttle. So I'm shocked that like these numbers were prepared, and I know Diana will be like work with me with these numbers, like directly.
Okay.
I'm Laura, I'm the director of the Women's Resource Center. Thank you for this opportunity today. Sam and I did meet last year after the initial fall hearing that we had, where more information about the Big Red Shuttle was requested, and we did also have a conversation about feminism, food for thought, and the expenses related to it. My recollection of that meeting is that we had a conversation where I expressed the sustainability concerns, the accessibility concerns, the inclusivity of the menu options available through a dining hall, and that those were the arguments that I was making to continue the program as it exists now. I don't think that we had a conversation about Chipotle as much. I'm sorry, I don't remember that. And there wasn't anything in writing to bring back to the group and to prepare for our spring practice hearing, more for a real hearing this past week. So, to say that we didn't have the preparation and the communication around these issues is a bit of a mischaracterization of what occurred last year. These are complicated issues, and habits are dozens of pages long. And there are many of them, and there are many organizations going through this. So I do understand the complexity of this, and that things get lost, and things get dropped, and things are miscommunicated. But I do feel that we have done the best that we could with the information that we were provided to respond to the issues that the appropriations committee brought to our attention. And that feminism food for thought, while a discussion issue in the fall semester, was not something that was brought back to our attention in the spring in order to better prepare for the fall.
Okay. I'm just going to go. I'm just saying, in the interest of time, I'm going to limit everyone speaking time to 1 minute. So you could respond. Okay. So we'll do two. So Olivia.
Hi guys. First of all, I want to say thank you for coming. I would say that I'm actually incredibly hurt because I know I asked a question about Flora Rose Dining Hall and whether or not you guys could move it somewhere else. I know there were multiple questions presented about whether or not we can move somewhere else. In the meeting itself, we actually offered you guys a lot of options. We mentioned Chipotle. We mentioned that there are other options and other sustainable areas. Maybe that was a conversation right after. But we definitely asked you questions about the dining hall and the fact that it was incredibly expensive. I want to stress that this is $16 per person, and that's thousands of dollars. It's like if you're funding 15 people like per week, that's $1,000 a month. That's absolutely insane. This is a fantastic program, and definitely I support you guys do. But the amount of money that's being put towards this program when every single other organization uses so much less money is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, next on the speaker's list is Marco.
Hi, this is the first time speaking on the mic, and I don't want to make like enemies on the essay or anything, but I think it's extremely disheartening when the Women's Resource Center is advocating for just like minimal amounts of money, and people there are smirking at whatever they say. People over here are saying that this is a waste of time. I don't want to, you know. But this is what you guys signed up for, and I think that we need to take it seriously. And right now, we are trying to create a more inclusive environment, and I think that the Student Assembly needs to put its money where its mouth is, because yeah, it's expensive, but inclusivity is very important. And there's some people, I know you may not have this problem, that don't have meal swipes or meal plans, and I'm sure that this one meal need is very important to them, and having to pay maybe $3 or $2 is a burden for a lot of people. And I also think that the more inclusive environments that we have on this campus, the more we need, the better, because we do need them. If you haven't, you know, people live in Iraq, you don't know what's been going on the past couple of weeks. But I fully support you guys, and I do think that you guys should receive funding. Granted, I'm new, and I don't know where this is coming from. But I do know that like 3 weeks ago, we talked about having this enormous surplus of money. I don't know if that money went to or whatever, but I think it's ridiculous that we can't use it for the people that actually.
Okay, so Women's Resource Center could just have 1 minute, and then after that, also just have 1 minute.
I would just like to say, Olivia, maybe you discussed that after we left, but I actually left the Women's confused. I was like, in a good way, I was like, oh, maybe they understand why we use floor rows. I was surprised we had gotten no questions. Like I said, we did get questions about attendance, but not once did we mention food options, and I will swear on any one member of my family's dead bodies, like, that was never brought up. I actually explicitly discussed it with Helen and Molly upon leaving the room, and so this is really just heartbreaking to hear.
Okay, so we definitely asked, so I remember distinctly that the first person who spoke on the speakers list asked a question about florals. It's true that we didn't discuss it that much, but that's because most of what we want, like most of the questions that we had about the budget, we decided not because we like to introduce the center and not the resources. But I really want to address the issue of essentially like food insecurity on campus. So I'm all for addressing food insecurity. I supported Annabelle's grocery. The issue, like, this isn't an issue about food insecurity. This is an issue about, like, the Women's Resource Center is able to provide, like, essentially the same program for much less money. Like, I don't know if you guys have looked up, like, catering prices, but catering, like, you could get for, like, $8 per person, you could get all you can eat Chipotle pretty much. And Chipotle is not the only place that you can get it from. You could get it from, like, any of the places that any of the other hotliners get their food from.
Okay, next, Sarah.
Okay, so, I'm on Axon and the Women's Rep, so I just kind of want to contextualize some things that are happening. First, I think it just what happened in Axon is far less important than what's happening now because we are functionally acting as Axon. So, I think it's going forward, all that really matters is that they have been taking tangible steps in the past few days to, like, meet in the growth, trying to do things to reduce the cost, and it's really difficult given all the, like, all the other, because of food insecurity, they don't know the number of people. But yeah, I think it's really problematic if we cut this program. If they're getting $4 per head, they have to cut this program or have less often. There's just no other option. I think, and also, I'm sure a lot of people don't fully understand Biomed, especially new people. So this might spend a lot of money, but we're talking about like a quarter per student. Like, I know that seems like a lot, but like there is so much benefit they get out of this. Also, they reach out to so many different organizations. It's not like they're funding the same number of people. It's like functionally a $1, like a one-time $16 payment. They reach out to, like, to all these other organizations. They have different numbers come every time, and they have no idea the number of people.
Can you finish your sentence?
Dave and I met with them. We talked a lot about options, and this is honestly the best one.
Okay. Okay, so we have a community member, so I'm going to let him go to the front of the speakers, Rabbi Cohen. You'll have 1 minute. So, and also for future reference, when I bang the gavel, you guys can finish your sentence.
Hey everyone, I just wanted to say hi, I'm Brendan. So it seems that like the issue here seems to be a little less focused on the program and more of the way the process went about. But another thing I just want to mention that a lot of the other alternative options, like kosher and halal options, aren't available at most or any of these locations versus at a West Campus diner hall. It's very easy to get and a lot of options brought there. That's just one thing to consider. Another thing is that this program really does reach out to a lot of individuals. I personally never attended, but I definitely support their endeavor, and I hope to attend a future event. I know it's something that a lot of people talk about. They bring up really great conversations that we should be having on campus. But I don't personally understand like why the conversation is being focused so heavily around alternatives, and they clearly have something that works very well, and it takes time to actually come up with a proper alternative.
Thank you. Okay, now we'll go back to what Ms. Wilson said.
Yeah. I just want to say I believe there's probably possibilities of subsidies. Like, we met with the first campus people today, but we deserve the time, and we deserve to be respected enough to figure out that ahead of time and collaboratively with the appropriations committee. They're making tough decisions too. Secondly, this wasn't a small cut with which there was a possibility of working around. This was a 75% cut to the program. So I don't think that there should be any pretense of, oh, we were trying to make them look at other options or find other subsidies, when it was a 75% cut to to a program to make it essentially like people have said a completely like we would have to end the program at that point.
And just to put the Chipotle argument to bed, you had our funding to 1500 for a year. If we work on a figure of 15 people per week, which we agree in our meeting, we think $8 a burrito, that's $120 per week for 15 attendees, assuming that we get 15 attendees, or not more or less. And then if you multiply that by 24 weeks a year, which is actually less than what we actually do, that's $2,880 above budget.
And that also ignores all of the inclusivity arguments that we've spoken about earlier. And I would like to re-emphasize the space being a safe space and the accessible space.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so I just want to be very clear, like there is no other organization on campus. Like, there's no other student-funded organization on campus. But let me back up. First of all, this is on top of the Women's Resource Center's food budget. Like they have a separate food budget. This is, I know that. So this is on top of the food budget for the members of the Women's Resource Center. So this is a separate program. So essentially the argument that we're trying to make is that funding level that the Appropriations Committee put them at would, if we were to, would set them at a higher amount than most other organizations get. Like we would pay every other week to have like any place cater that costs less than like $9. Like they could pay for that every other week, and the Appropriations Committee is okay with funding that, even though most other organizations get nothing of the sort or even close. We recognize the value of this program, and we want to support it, but other orgs just don't get this. So,
finish your second.
Motion to overturn AFCON decision and fund them at $3.89.
Second.
After overturning, can you please defer to the PM?
That's cutting it
off. How about? You could ask your question.
So it takes a two-thirds vote of the assembly to overturn the decision of the committee. And then what happens is we can just like recommend new funding amounts. Just to like put everything in perspective, every cent is about $150. And so a 10-cent increase would essentially bring it from like $4 per student per week to $8 per student per week. And then another 10 cents would be restoring the next 25% of the budget. So 89 cents, which is what Sarah suggested, would restore the budget to about 75% of what it currently is. We can't fund higher than $4. We can fund no less than 50 cents per student.
Sarah, can you restate your motion?
Yes.
I just want to make sure that when people are voting, that they are confident the program will continue with the cuts that are being proposed, because I can say for one that I am not. And so I would urge people to consider if you would like to reduce the amount, that you reduce it to an amount that you are wholeheartedly confident you can continue on.
Motion to overturn Appropriation Committee decision.
Continue to the chair.
Motion to overturn a provision.
There's a dissent. Consider dissent.
Because I think we're getting too wrapped up in emotions, and I think everybody's looking at the fact that the program is absolutely fantastic.
You speak into the mic.
So expensive.
Speak into the mic.
This is so expensive. We're talking about thousands of dollars here.
Okay. All right. Want to vote to vote? On whether or not to overturn, I believe that requires 60%.
I would just like. There's
no, there's no one second. Yeah. Is this a point of order? If we vote, if Becky, can you, you're not, can you speak right now?
All right, so we vote to overturn, but let's just put out passes. Do we have to overturn, like, is that like making it to be 89, or is it just saying that we want to overturn and like make it so?
Yeah,
so
I don't
think it's make it for,
yeah. So once we overturn, that all that means is we do not have to fund them at exactly 367. We can then debate and make motions to fund them anywhere between 50 cents and $4 per student per year.
Okay, that's
good. So essentially what happens is when the SA decides to overturn the Appropriations Committee, the SA assumes the function of AFSCOM, and so what we'll, like, what we essentially do is we'll, like, put numbers out there, and then we vote from the highest funding level to the lowest funding level, and it requires a majority vote to pass. And so that's essentially how it works. So we're not funding at 389. We're just, it just puts us in a discussion about a new funding level.
And lastly, I just want to say, guys, like, yeah, XCOM doesn't hate this program. We don't, like, not like the Women's Resource Center. Like, I am so upset that I have to be here right now because I worked so hard last semester and trying to understand the budget, trying to work this through. It comes down to, like, what it came down to XCOM. It's a question of fairness, right? Like, is it fair to have all these other orgs work their ass off and, like, really cut their own costs to have food costs that are $3 to $5 per head versus this? And that's what it came down to for us. I am, like, more than open to work for alternatives. I'll literally, like, take time out of my daily weekly schedule to work with the Women's Resource Center and find something so they don't have to be the only ones putting time into it, because I think I should put time into it as well. This is an effort. This is a program that is going to impact so many lives of Cornell. But I just want you to understand that this was a question of fairness to the outcome.
What was the subsidy that Laura Rose gave you?
So you said a maximum of $1,000 is a subsidy that they would be able to provide. However, that is not, they're not sure whether that is sustainable, so that you could ensure that for the 18-19 calendar year, but is unsure if you could, that going forward, because it's not sure how the university will treat that expense. It could come out of the operating budget for Rose House, which is not good for theirs if he doesn't know for sure. So it's just uncertain on whether that will actually be possible.
Okay, we really have to vote now. So we're gonna vote to overturn. Okay. 60%. Okay,
wait,
so
in order, a question. Alright, if we vote and this vote fails, does that mean that we can still work on it, or does that mean it's done?
No, so if this motion fails, then we're talking about, we're still in discussion about XCOM's.
Alright, just want to make sure that we can still vote.
Yeah, exactly. So, all those in favor on voting, please raise your placards. Exactly. All opposed? All those against? Raise it high. Abstentions? So it's 15-44. It passes. So now we're going to have a discussion. Now we're going to vote on whether to return or not. We're going to vote already. No. Okay. Okay, guys. So, all those in favor of overturning XCOM's decision, raise your placards. All those against? Abstentions? Vote is 15-4-5. It does not pass. So we're going to go back into discussion on the original recommendation that's on. So then.
I would be happy to come back and present a more balanced budget if you give us the time to do that. But it's not fair for us to go and reinvent something based off an arbitrary number. Does that make sense?
Number, Okay.
Okay, so basically we reached that kind of critical point between 50% and 67% where, like, not the whole assembly was sold. So, like, look, I'm not even going to be here next year. Like, I'm not doing this for my health. I'm not doing this for the quarter that I would say. Like, I'm doing this because I think it's, like, genuinely the right thing to do, because not all organizations get to do it. So, like, this is not, like this is not trying to save any money. So what I think we should do, it seems like they did the right thing and reached out to the West Campus Housing System to get more funding. Someone offered to essentially almost double it. I think that someone offered to give you an extra $1,000. So yeah, right. So I think that like we could fund this a little bit more to kind of put them back like where most other organizations would be. I think that something along the lines of like 370 or 375 could like is something that is like politically digestible for the assembly right now. And so I would vote in favor of 370 or 375, but like, and I'm okay with all of that money going towards the feminism group of law. I really just want to stress that other organizations don't get this privilege, and like I really think we should be mindful of that fact.
Okay.
What's the process for an organization to come back in like the next week or 2 weeks to have more signs? If you cover that's fine. Vote my point of agree.
Okay, we're gonna go back to speakers list. Alec.
So I understand you know what organization is this kind of money, but there was also another school that has as many Title IX cases open as Cornell does. And I think that speaks volumes to where we need to be putting this kind of money. If the worst thing that we're doing is feeding people, I don't really call that a loss. And I know that it's a Flora Rose event, and so a lot of people who live in Flora Rose who already have these rights go. I went twice last year, I apologize. Half the people that are over there live in Rose, and so they didn't have to be paid for. And I understand that it is quite expensive, and I do think that for the long run, something needs to be changed, but I think we just behoove of us giving the time to do that. So if that means a semester or a yearly deadline for a change to happen, I think that'd be good. But I think to cut this completely is a horrible idea.
No, I wanna go with this video. Travis, your hands.
So the first thing I wanna say is I wanna say this, that I'm really disappointed that another group dedicated to diversity and inclusion is having their budget questioned again. Like, it seems like a pattern that's starting to repeat, and I don't know if appropriation is just not taking this into account, whether it's reflected in that, because it is a diverse committee, but maybe these affinity groups are not having a voice there. And that's very also disappointing that a vote would take place without the woman's rep in the room. That is the first thing I just have to say. The next thing I want to just also point out that people keep saying organization. This student group is called the Women's Resource Center. That means they provide to all people that identify as women on this campus. I don't know the number of that, but that's probably over 50%. You know, women are overtaking men on this campus. But like, keep that in mind, in that what you keep comparing this to the other Byline Funded organizations, but what other Byline Funded organization is a resource center similar to 626? This funds such, if anything, it should no longer be a Byline-funded organization, if that's what we're calling into question. So I really want to know, we keep comparing this to the other Byline-funded organizations, what other Byline-funded organization has the same mission? So I really want to know, like, how we can make sure the organization is dedicated to diversity and inclusion, because their budgets are being requested, to make sure that their demands are being met, because as you can see on this campus right now, campus climate is not welcoming to all identities. So this cut is a direct attack on another group. So I really want to know. And also to take place, last night there was another incident. So please, this is still a conversation. So please, and like, so this is really a question, a point of inquiry now. Like, can you please, you keep saying no other organization. Like, can you defend that? Can you really compare this to another organization?
Next is the Women's Resource Center.
I'm directly off that point. This, you keep saying that no other organization has a school budget. This is not money that we have in Gayport are sitting around eating floor rows, dining halls once a week. This is not what's happening. We have groups from all over campus enjoying it in this program. And, like, that's the main possible program. Like,
We're not using other materials to fund this program. We're not printing out posters. We're not doing, like, that's not stopping us.
And often facilitators, like speaking for myself, we recognize the expense and if not even ourselves, but the benefit of others. Like, we would love to do more, but we would love to have the time to do
more. Yeah, 1 minute.
Okay, so I know that the guideline process is new to people, but there's no reason why we do this in the fall of this year. And the reason is because this cup won't take place until next fall. So, like, we can work with you literally all year to help you find alternatives. And so, like, that's why we do this in advance, because we understand that it would be unfair to ask you to make this change immediately. So I can tell you that I am personally committed to doing it. I promise I will appoint a task force to help work with this. I totally understand that it would be inappropriate to ask you to change immediately, and that's why we do this a year in advance.
Next on the speakers list is Myra.
Before hearing your statements, I want to spoke to SA members about how much money feminism movement thought was. I do agree that it's a lot of money. However, I realize that students who attend feminism movement thought may be food insecure. I also agree that you are given a lack of due process, as Hannah mentioned. There are aspects of this program I didn't think about, and I suspect other SA members didn't either. So thank you for all the work that you've put into this as students, as exams are approaching. I hope that this assembly gathers all of the facts and realizes that the inclusivity of feminism movement thought coupled with the lack of ASCOM's questions about this particular program and the lack of due process and votes for to appeal this decision. For all the time the Voting Research Center has put into trying to be fully funded, to be blindsided by this, they deserve to be fully funded.
Next is Child.
So I'd like to clarify a couple of things. So I'm on ASCOM, and the thing is, we never mentioned using Chipotle to you, so I don't know where that line came from. One, and two, when you look at the reason why they use Flora Rose, it's because you know, for you to have this conversation, you need to have it around a meal. One, you need to be able to meet different dietary needs. And because it's a program where people are coming in and out, you can't really predict what people's dietary needs are. And three, you need to have just enough food. So if you cater in, you might have a lot of food left over, or you might not have enough food, depending on the attendance. And you don't have that. And also the argument that, you know, oh, we're not being like fair to like other groups and stuff. They've been having this program at Four Rows for 9 years, and in that 9 years, no other group has asked to be in the dining hall. So therefore, we can't say other groups are going to look at Women's Resource Center and ask to be in the dining hall because they haven't done that before. And like fairness doesn't really like. Like, fairness isn't really, like, it's not equitable. Like, you can't, you know, just say, oh, we're trying to be fair for, like, to every organization. You have to look at the organization's mission and needs and then give them the amount of money. And I'm so disgusted that we're looking at people and we're looking at them as numbers and how much money we should, like, give them. If an organization needs the money to sustain, you know, what they are trying to do, who are we as ASCOM, as the student assembly, to tell them exactly how to do it? Because they've been doing it for 9 years, they've been doing it well, so why are we funding it where they need to be funded? And thank you for being here, and thank you for going through this process, because I was really looking for you.
Yeah,
I would just like to reiterate that any decision made today below $4 would be a guess. That for the next year, we would be making a guess as to what we can accomplish in the next year that I'm not convinced is a reasonable thing to do. So just making that point firstly. And secondly, this conversation, like you said, if process had worked out as we suggested, would have been over by now if we got the feedback a year ago. And if nothing happened between a year and today, and clearly this is something they were considering, but we had no idea about, I'm not confident that in the next year we can improve, we can fill in whatever arbitrary gap is created today.
Yes.
Could we
the Axcom decision overturned and the CAB then come back in a future meeting with a higher proposed budget where they know more information. Not next week, not the week after, but with enough time that they can really consider their options. They can come back with $4 if that's what they think is needed for this program, but if they need
The Vice President of Finance.
Yeah, so I want to start by saying the answer to that question is yes. The assembly can refer questions back to the committee. I actually offered to have the committee look at this issue again last week, and they chose not to have that happen. But I'm like I said, I am happy to work with them more on this issue because I recognize that they feel blindsided by this. That's not the goal. The goal is the organizations of the full year to adopt the recommendations that we make. I'm happy to put it back on the agenda if the assembly wants to send it back. But yeah.
I need to respond just directly to you about coming back. So I mentioned earlier, we have a meeting with West Campus. We're meeting with Dr. Hill, and they, West Campus and the deans had an internal meeting yesterday and decided that for our issue for WRC, we'd be working directly with him for funding. So we talked about that today. As Molly said, number of $1,000, that's the maximum that they can give us. That their budget is decided at the end of the school year, so in June of 2018, they'll know how much money they'll be having for the program for next year. So there's, we can get no more information from them at this time. Like, what we have is what we have.
Also, I would love some respect for our personal time for this issue and not have to continue doing this for the rest of the semester.
Okay, I'm going to let Abscom speak for a moment because we want to speak to us on that.
Yeah, we were invited back to Abscom, but we were actually discouraged to do that because the whole community university voted against our budget, and that would be essentially a waste of time to come back to Abscom. And it would be a burden on you guys because you meet for 3 hours, which is important long time as students on Wednesday. So we, respectfully, both of us, not both of our time, has decided that that would not be.
Okay, I'm going to give Abscom 2 minutes, or a minute and a half, because.
Yeah, so, I mean, I know you can't see the byline like presentation that I sent out, but the committee's, that's the byline packet. The essay report that I presented shows the Appropriations Committee's vote on this, and the vote was one person in favor, 10 people against funding them at the full level, and then one person abstaining, that's me, the chair. The vote was 7 people in favor of funding them at $3.67, 4 people against, which means 4 people on the committee wanted to go even lower, and then one person abstaining. Yeah, that was a mistake. I mean, it doesn't change the number, right? It was still essentially almost unanimous, and so the committee very strongly, like almost unanimously, was in favor of decreasing the amount of funding specifically for this program. But the committee was fully in favor of funding everything else, and that's why we wanted to make sure that if we do make a small cut to the budget, that we don't transfer money from other programs that we think are really valuable to the community. Because the only issue, like, this isn't an issue of inclusivity, this isn't an issue of maintaining diversity, this is just an issue of getting the food costs in line with what we hold all other campus organizations to. I understand that not all organizations are the same, but we really try not to have the student body fund people's food. Or if they do, we try to have it essentially at a reasonable level.
Okay, thank you. Varun?
Hey everyone. So I think it's very important to recognize that this is a very different organization than all other organizations. As Travis brought up earlier, this is the Women's Resource Center. There's so much that they do for the community, including like the mobilization that Hannah was discussing. Going through the processes that are involved with this, it sounds like there was miscommunication between what happened last year in terms of the discussions about the Feminist Group for Thought budget and what they wanted to do moving forward. That being said, as someone that has a dietary restriction and someone that recognizes that when the SA funded our own Taste of High budget, it was almost $7 per student, what I am proposing for moving this forward is allowing the opportunity for the Women's Resource Center to continue funding themselves at $16 per student for at least a year, but then after that, lowering it down to $8 a student, so then they have the time to organize, to restructure, so that Sam has the time to work with them to get these resources available, so that they can work with the dining halls to get that budget down. There was, I mean, looking at what they were saying, that $1,000 subsidy, that's a 16%, like, that's 16% of their budget. So I think it's very important to recognize what we can do as an assembly to support them and what they can do right now to continue fulfilling their mission in the short term. So with that being said, what I'm proposing is what Sarah said earlier, that $3.89, because that not only gives them a full year next year of that $16 funding, but it gives them an entire semester this year and half of this semester right now. So that's almost a year and like 1.75 years for them to restructure their budget, for them to find a new space like Golden Smith or something else. I don't know how accessible Golden Smith is, but another building which is more accessible, and it'll give us an opportunity to work with them for that accessible space, for that accessible food. And so with that, I'm going to motion to overturn with a vote on $3.89.
Point of order. Can the motion include both those parts of the thing, either you're overturning and food number, or does that have to be two separate motions?
I revoke my motion. I motion to vote to overturn.
Second.
Wait, point of order. Just so all the new SA members know, any abstentions in this vote count as a no. That should be made.
Wait,
what?
Is
that true? So
the. It's that's not always the case. That's not true.
I think 3.89 makes sense. I also don't think we should vote them into doing something specific. Like if they find some other funding, like I don't think we shouldn't force them to spend all this money for a single year. It's up to them. I just think that that's a good number, and it's up to them how they want to help.
So
with that, and vote. Did you
dissent or did you make a motion?
Oh, I dissented to voting to add that.
We're voting to vote.
So we're voting. I revoke my motion. Now I'm going to make the motion again to overturn.
Back up. I need a dissent. Seeing none, okay. All those in favor?
Dissent. Still dissent.
You dissent?
Still.
Speak to dissent.
I think an important question has not been asked of Axcom, which is why it wasn't. The budget didn't do that last year. I understand that wasn't under.
So
Gabe. So TJ, like, I literally met him and gave him feedback. So
I'm saying.
Alright, guys, we cannot do this right now. We want to vote to vote, okay? All those in favor, raise your placards. We're voting to overturn Abscom's. We're voting to vote to overturn. Come to all those against? Abstentions? Well, okay, so 21-1, it passes. Now I want to go. Now I want to actually vote to whether or not to overturn, okay? Yeah, sure.
So, I mean, now we're just a discussion about, like, what level of the organization is.
Yes. So now it's a vote to actually overturn Abscom's original recommendation. Now it's okay to raise your platforms.
Say that again.
This vote is to overturn Abscom's original recommendation. Are those against? Abstentions? Okay, 21-1, it's overturned. Well, okay, now we're going to discussion. There's a new speaker's list. Okay? Alright, let me fix it that way. I'm just going to go in order, okay? Motion to vote on $4. Okay. There's been this last feature.
Yeah, I think Dale's right. We do need some discussion about the numbers. I think that one number was brought up, which was 389, and obviously $4 is also a number. But I do think there may be more discussion.
I paid my motion for $4.
Point of information.
All right, what up? Has there been a second? There's no second. Oh, you can't right now. Okay, so there's no second, so it's not going to go through. Okay, so speaker's list. No, it didn't pass. Okay.
So I think that everyone's made their points already, and I think that everyone's really set on what they're going to say. So pretty much one side of the argument wanted to, like, even like as you saw with the prior motion, people still didn't want to overturn this decision, right? And so, like, there's a ton of members that have already made up their mind that don't want to overturn this, but now we've brought to the floor to the point where we can overturn this. And then there's a ton of members that want to increase this specific amount, in fact, $4. That being said, I think that everyone's made up their mind, and I think that 389 is a really good opportunity for us to work with the Women's Resource Center and to engage with them over a year. With that, you can still vote for your $4 if you think that that's a good idea.
All right, motion to vote for $4.
Switch
to the set. Okay. So,
I thought Ashcroft would like to speak. That's why I just said, thank you.
All right, we're going to vote to vote, okay? All those in favor voting, raise your hand.
Point of information, what are we voting on?
It's a vote to vote.
We're voting to vote on whether we should vote it, if really we should pass the ballot. Okay.
Guys. I made a mistake. So, in cases like this, we can't just vote on one number. We need a series of numbers. So we're not going to do this vote. Understand that? Okay. Alright, so I'm going to ask for proposals now. So we have $4, we have the rules 389. Okay.
Okay, so.
What's your information? What happened to the speakers list?
Huh?
Wasn't there a speakers list? You just started taking the photos.
Okay, first, yeah, jump. Can you read the speakers list? Can you read the speakers list out and then I will speak? No? Okay.
I just called on you.
Okay, no, I'm just for all the people. Okay, so the numbers that I've heard are $4, which is funding it in the full amount, $389, which is essentially funding it at 75%. $375, which is funding it at 50%, which is like essentially what it's like a little bit more than what we would give any other organization. And obviously the original amount, which is $369. Those are the numbers that I have heard. I think so on Varun made the point that he thinks that we should give them an extra year. They like after we make a decision, this organization will have a full year to implement the changes already. Like if we vote on it now. We're not guessing. It would be a whole amount right now.
Alright, so the numbers that you said you have is $4, $389, $375, and $369. $367, okay. So not $369. Alright, okay, we'll go back to speakers just now.
Point of order.
Motion to table the entire session till next week so we give them at least like a week.
Defend.
Good job.
Okay, Becca.
Point of order. Point of order. Yes.
John, can I speak considering I wasn't allowed to speak in the last week?
No, we can't do that. This is a new speaker's list.
Yeah, but you skipped me.
Yeah, that was my fault. Welcome to the new speaker's list.
Wait, I'm going to make another motion right now because it's almost 6:30. Motion to extend the meeting by 15 minutes.
Okay. We just laid down this consent? Okay. TJ, you're after that.
Okay.
Becca, before you start. Olivia. So everyone, okay? So, my role as a chair is to make the speakers list, okay? If you're not in the same place as where you're talking, that's not my fault, okay? So don't complain, please.
Discussion for executive session.
Yes.
Okay.
I would just like to say, I wasn't going to speak on this issue since I'm on AFSCON, but I would just like to say, I was in the meeting. I supported the $4. I also supported 367. I didn't support, there was other options presented that I was very adamantly against. I think AFSCON has been overly conservative this year. However, that being said, I'm not going to get punched or yelled at later. I do think $16 per student is a lot. I also think the program is an amazing thing that is necessary and should continue. I think 367 as a cut, even though I'm on AFSCON and was walking to this meeting somewhat in support, I think 389 is much more reasonable. I think those $4, it has nothing to do with the program, nothing to do with the organization as a whole and all, whatever you stand for. It has to do with the fact that we are viewing 30 different organizations and we're scrutinizing them based on finances. And a lot of people only look at finances. I'm trying to bring in like emotional and like the aspect to the community that these programs bring, which a lot of people on AFSCON, I will admit, look over, and it's very frustrating for me when I say this has an impactful influence. Because you guys do have an impact, and it's really frustrating when everyone's just looking at finances and being dicks about it. That being said, if we fund with 389, which I think is reasonable, I feel like there's somewhat of an attack. You can make some kind of adjustment to 389. 389 is a lot more than other organizations get. I understand it's not what you want, and it sucks, and you guys do have an impact, but I think 389 would be, I would be totally in favor of that, more than $4. Even though I did vote in AFSCON $4, I still think 389 is probably better than finances and community impact.
Okay, now I want to go to Mr. for that.
I would like to reiterate one more time that any number is a guess. Like, we have no solid source elsewhere, and so another number is a guess. And I agree to expensive the program, but I personally think that you should be voting on full confidence that we should not be making reactive change. We should not be filling a gap. We should be coming next year and proposing a change that we can both stomach and are both feel confident about, that it's not fair for us to be reacting to a decision. And to be honest, like, we've been reacting to decisions this entire time, and I'd like the opportunity to come forward and make a proposal as opposed to react.
Point of inquiry, so somebody over there just tried to make a motion to like send this debate to next meeting. You guys said no. But that point of that was, correct me if I'm wrong, the point of that was that you guys come back and plan with a solid number.
Okay.
That's just how like this
operates. Speaking to the mic.
We would just keep extending the debate, like we would just like postpone again next week until you guys were ready to present.
Okay.
So, point of information.
Like, we'd have the motion to table, correct? And we would have the motion to table this discussion.
So there's been a motion to table this discussion.
No, I'm not motioning that. Is that not how parliamentary works? We would just motion to table this week and continue to motion to table that.
What if it's been revoked 2 or 3 times already? Because they don't want it.
Right, so how long do you guys need?
Can
you just
yeah.
When do you guys want this discussion to be updated? Obviously not comfortable with another being said right now. So what is gonna happen, what we were trying to tell you is that we met with West Texas this morning. Their budget was not finalized until next June, so we are not gonna have a set number until next June of what West Texas can help us with. Our number is $4. And for historical context, I think this is important. Since the WRC's inception 20 years ago, we've been receiving $4 of bylaw funding literally every single year. This is the first time we've been cut. We've never asked for more. We've been able to make do of our funding. And then now, well, we're being cut for the first time.
Okay, next on the speakers, this is AFSCON. You use your mic.
Speak into it. Like, that is just not true. 2010 to 2012 cycle for the Women's Resource Center funded them at $2 per student. The 2012 to 2014 bylaw cycle funded them at $3.50 per student. The 2014 to 2016 bylaw cycle funded them at $3.46 per student. And the 2016 to 2018 cycle, which is what we're currently at, funded them at $4 per student. From 7 years ago to now, they will be receiving still almost twice as much money as they were. This is not the first time this organization has ever received a decrease. It is receiving way more money than it historically has, and we
We support that. We want the organization to receive more money. Our only concern is just the cost of this food budget. That is the only concern. Otherwise, we want the organization to be the exact same.
That's perfectly 1 minute. TJ?
All right. Just to clarify. Okay, so I think what I would strongly encourage us to do as an assembly would be to pass $4 for now, since that's the only estimate and number that they're certain of. Pass that for now, and then have Sam, as well as any other members of APSCOM who are willing to work with the Women's Resource Center, as well as Rose House, to try and secure funding that would be sustainable moving forward. And if that funding can't be secured sustainably for the next several years, then future APSCOMs would have to, again, continue to provide an enhanced budget and continue to finance them at $4. I think that's what needs to happen because currently they don't have alternative means to fund this incredible program.
Thanks.
And thank you. Olivia?
Okay, I'm just going to say that everybody who's run APSCOM has run APSCOM for a reason, and I'm going to say I think almost every single person on that committee wanted some sort of decrease. So I think funding at $4 is not an option. I would say that since APSCOM came up with 367 and the Women's Resource Center is coming up with $4, we meet right in the middle, we make an agreement, and we go 382. That's the most fair option, and it's the best compromise between everybody. We go halves, okay? That's my point.
Okay, number Women's Resource Center? Okay, APSCOM. Use your mic.
I mean, I think we should add 382 to the list of possible.
Yeah, I just,
yeah, okay. That's a fair reason.
Okay. Next is Kiana. Omar.
Yeah, so I think I've been hearing a lot about, like, it's not fair for other orgs that don't come to the same. But I don't think the question is one of fairness. I think it's from context. But we really need to understand the context of how the organization functions, which I think is something that historically we've really been having a tough time doing. The way that they do this event, they need it to happen at Rose House, they need it to come to us, they need to be funded at this amount. And so, yeah, maybe we don't want other orgs with this much food for money, or this much money for food, but guess what, we don't want other orgs, like a bunch of money for honorariums or even compensation committee. But the reason we do that is because that organization can function without it, the same way this organization can function without this event, and this event can't happen any other way. So because of that, I think we should give them the $4. Second.
All right, 60%. You can say
$4 is ridiculous.
Okay. Number gets 2/3, right? Just the majority can overturn it. So as soon as we get a majority of members present to agree on a number, that's what we're going to fund. I think it's completely unreasonable not to start with $4. Doesn't mean you'll have to vote for. All right, so you make it?
Information. So we do it the same way as Tom, but is it anonymous? Like, anonymous? No. I don't care.
Okay.
Yeah. Point
of order. Okay, yeah, guys, the floor. All right, so there's been a motion. I'm gonna repeat. Guys, please.
So Dale and Nate, I mean, like, this is directed at the chair, but, like, because procedure dictates the appropriations committee, what Olivia was saying, is that something that has been done in broader assembly as a whole, / would it be appropriate, or is it against the rules?
My bad, I'm gonna let Dale speak.
Ballots are reserved for the executive session, and we can't make online funding decisions in executive session. We have to vote by raising our hand. No, we can't.
So it can't be, okay. All right, so the list of funding amounts that we have right now is $4, $389, $382, $375, and $367.
Point of information, too.
Yes.
$4 is completely out of the ballpark because it doesn't account for the entire year they weren't given to work on the as a problematic program. So, I mean, $4 for a year, given that they're given time to find out of funding, is a good option. So,
That's correct. Okay, 2 years then.
Wait, can you repeat your suggestion?
I wanted to say that.
Next year.
All right. My point was that it's unfair to.
Okay, so we are.
Can I hear what Jesse has to say?
My point was that it was unfair to completely say $4 for a higher value was unfair because the higher value, it doesn't cover the injustice of the fact that the WRC was not told, at least formally, that Feminist Proof of God was a problematic program. They did not have the time to find other sources of funding. So that's my point, is that we can't rule out higher,
Is that a question? Or
no,
is
I'm just saying, I mean, that's my statement. I'm saying.
It's okay. Not a motion. So we're in motion. Okay, we're going to vote, okay? So first, we're going to vote $4. What? There's been a motion to vote. And it's been seconded. So. And a committee member wants to speak.
Hi, everyone. So my name is Terrell, and if I'm not mistaken, that $500 bill, that's what that right, it's in activity fee, $500, $241, okay, thank you. So I actually come from various constituencies that you all represent, and I have to say that I have no problem with funding them this money. It personally doesn't hurt me to feed them. I think that their purpose, their objective, and their goal is amazing, and I fully support that. I haven't heard anything else across this campus so far. And the question to this Appropriations Committee, I know you all discussed the fairness in it all, but who or what organization is saying that it isn't fair? Or what organization is requesting $14? Or where does this worry come from? Because I have no problem with that, and I don't see that anyone else does. Thank you.
Okay. So there was a motion, and there's a dissent. I'm going to vote to vote, okay? I'm going to vote to vote. All those in favor of voting, raise your placards. Okay. All those against? It's a vote to vote. So the majority it passes on a vote. We're gonna start at $4, and this is. I just want everyone to know that. So once again, $4 is the highest. $3.89 is the next highest, and then it's $3.82, $3.75, and then $3.67. Okay. So we're going to vote on $4. If it does not pass, it doesn't mean they're not going to get any funding. It means we're going to vote on the next highest, which is $3.89. Okay? So all those in favor of voting for?
Motion to vote by roll call vote.
Okay, we're at 6. So we're just going to do normal vote, okay? All those in favor, raise your placards at $4. All those against. Abstentions. So 14-92, it passes. Congratulations. Alright, we're going to move on to Resolution 7. No.
No, 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 we have to listen to you very quick. This is your resignation.
Yes, kind of.
Speaking to the mic there.
So this is the resolution on reforming our statement policy, amending the bylaws. I don't think we have time to discuss it or pass it today. So please take another look at it. If you want to make amendments, please come with a clear language ready next week. And I'm motioning to table this till next week.
Second. Okay. Motion to adjourn? That's going to adjourn. All right, we're in the next session. Okay. Members of the public, thank you for coming. If you could exit the room, we'll be doing an executive session. Thank you for coming.
I have a comment.
Yeah.
Can we address in exec session the pressuring by other members to vote for certain way or not vote for certain way in SA? Just the fact that like, there's a side comment, there's a smile that go on, and then there's also the, how can we do that?
What?
On vote,
when you're voting for something and someone is like... Everybody, put your papers in your binders, put your placards in the front of the binder.
Both sides. Never mind.
Hey everyone, we're moving into executive session, so members of the community could please exit the room. Thank you. Bye, Hannah. Hey, can people sit down so we can get this over with? I know everyone wants to eat dinner. Omar, you too. Please listen to Dad.
Okay, so it's in your binder?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, so all assembly members, we are now in executive session. This is the part of the meeting where we are allowed to discuss things and have secret votes on internal appointments only. Tonight we have a couple of positions that I hope aren't too contentious. So the way this works is that there's many committees in the university. There are SA committees that we have specific caps on with membership. There are university assembly committees. There are committees that are part of the administration. And some of these